Blue Apron, Big Back Dinner.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. We try to decide, along with the people that are playing along with us, including one of our fan favorites, Mr. Jason Marino, which person is telling what lie. Am I right, Jessica?
Yes, you always are.
Okay, you're so into this. Anyway, so, Jessica, will you please introduce our wonderful guests?
I'd love to. This first gentleman, he has won so many festivals and competitions. He's opened for Norm Macdonald, Theo Von, and Nikki Glaser. That's where we met, and we divulged way too much information about each other, and I know a lot about Mark. This is Mr. Mark Smalls.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you for the beautiful intro. That was awesome. That was tight. Made me feel like I had credits.
There you go. All right, our next guest.
The next gentleman, I'll never forget the first time I saw him was at the Sacramento Comedy Spot where he was headlining, and he is amazing. He's done everything. He's written a book. He's owned a comedy club. He has a YouTube that is very successful. This is Mr. Steve Hofstetter.
Thank you very much. Also, by the way, as soon as you said, this guy's won a bunch of comedy festivals, I was like, oh, this is Mark's. This isn't my introduction.
Well, I'll be honest with you. When she said that, I was like, this is Steve's for sure. This just can't be me.
All right. And also joining us is our on-air producer, Mr. Michael Evans. And he will be writing down everyone's stories. And at the end of the podcast, he's going to do a recap. And then we're going to take a vote to decide which story is a fucking lie. All right?
You.
All right.
What's up, Mike?
What we're going to do is we're going to rotate it around, and we'll start with Mark. We'll go to Steve, go back to Mark for a second story, and then Steve's second story. And we will ask questions. If anyone who is playing along live wants to ask questions, just put it in the chat, and we'll get those out to the comedian so that they can answer that. Okay. And go.
Is it me? Oh, yeah. We started with Mark. I got 80. I didn't take my Adderall today. I'm sorry. So I used to work at a bar, and this was when I was like early 20s. And one night after we closed up, me and my buddy who were closing up the bar, we were taking out the trash, and we found a wallet outside the back of the trash. And we brought it back inside, and we kind of like looked inside the wallet. There wasn't too much like in there. There was just like a gift card, credit card, but there was tickets to a Giants game for the next day. And I was like, well, we should try to contact this guy. His name was like Brian. He was French though. It was like Lefebvre or something.
What?
That's why I remember it. It was because it was a weird last name. I was like, this guy's got to be Canadian or something.
But he has football tickets, so he can't be.
No, baseball. So I was like, it could still be real. So I was like, we should try to give the tickets back. But my buddy was like, fuck that. We're going to this game. I hate Canada. And so we ended up going to the game, and they were box seats. And I've never been to a box. I didn't know what they look like. We get into the game. There's box seats. We get there. There's no one in the box. And I'm kind of freaking out. But my buddy, he actually looks professional. He's like a salesman. So
wait a minute. If it's box seats, doesn't that mean like there could be other people in there that know this person?
Yeah, 100%. So when we showed up and they're like, they're box seats, I was like, we're fucked. What are we doing here? It was insane. So we get into the box, there's no one in the box. So I was like, kind of like, okay, this is kind of weird. And then like maybe 5 minutes go by and two people walk in and I start panicking. And my buddy, he's playing it off. He goes, hey, what's going on? He goes, hey, you must be Brian. And my buddy goes, yeah, that's me. I'm Brian. And so I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I can't do this. And he's like, who's this? And I panicked and I'm like, I'm the driver. I just drive him around. And I was like, I don't know what to say. I didn't have a backstory. And so we start watching the game and they start small talking. I can't be around my buddy when he's doing this. I'm like freaking out. So I'm just watching the game and listening, and they're talking about like sales or stocks or something about they want to invest in his company or something. And I was like, I wanted to exit the whole game, but I couldn't. I couldn't.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't mean to. You said this is your 20s too. Like, you already stick out like a sore thumb, it seems like, in a business environment.
No. Back in his 20s, he wore a suit. It was a different.
Well, to be honest with you, I had like this was like before I did comedy. I had a nice haircut. I looked presentable a little more.
Don't blame this on comedy, Mark.
Okay.
It's not fair to comedy. Fair.
I think I can. Fair. I've earned this, God damn it.
Wait, this is a box or a suite? I mean, box seats to me at a baseball game are like the low level seats. It's still open air, but there's like a little corporate box, and a suite is like you need fucking access, and there's like a guard and all that
box
shit. Like, that's
box.
What I mean.
There was like the open box. Air, okay. But like hot dogs and shit. Like, when as right. soon as I walked in, I try to take shit from the drawers. Like, I was like, oh, I want to get free shit, you know? I want free shit. And my buddy was like, chill the fuck out. We got to play this smart. So we watched the game, and at the end of the game, he's like, you got to roll with me tomorrow. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you got to roll with me tomorrow. And I was like, for what? He's like, this is going to be great. We're going to go to the sales meeting that they invited us to. Apparently it was like to invest in Brian's company.
You took this further?
I didn't want to, but he talked me into it. I'm very impressionable.
This was opportunity. They're not just going to pass up opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this is like
behavior you have in a suite, not in a box seat.
Felicia called you out.
Yeah, no, it's like we're way past club level here.
Okay.
So he picks me up the next day, and we go out to this like hotel. It's like a Renaissance, like a hotel, like back suite that they rented. It was a box. At the hotel, it was a suite. And it's like one of those like conference rooms, you know, and the two guys that were at the suite or the box, like welcome us and sit us down and, hey Brian, how you doing? I'm fucking panicking again. I'm like, what am I doing? And we sit down and they start going through this like sales pitch with like graphs and shit. I have no idea what's happening. And then maybe 7 minutes into the meeting, someone walks in and like rushes over to the two people that were originally helping us and is like whispering, like, and then they immediately stop the meeting. They go, you're not Brian Lefebvre. And he was like, I know I'm not Brian Lefebvre. And they're like, you're not Brian Lefebvre. And I'm like, holy fuck, it's going down right now. And they go, you want to know how we know you're not Brian Lefebvre? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, Brian Lefebvre is dead. Apparently, this guy had got like mugged outside the bar like the night before. And he had gotten to like a street fight after closing. And apparently like got stabbed. It's in the city. It's a fucking... It was a shitty neighborhood bar. So the guy had got stabbed and like passed away the next morning, and we used his baseball tickets.
You know who's a suspect in the stabbing?
Us.
Yeah, the people who used his stuff.
And guess afterwards. Who had to talk to the police afterwards?
You!
This fucking guy right here.
What year was this?
I would say... Like 07, 08.
Uh-huh. And how old were you?
Like 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what kind of business was it that they were trying to do some deal about?
It was like internet sales or something. It was like they sold like server space is what I got from it.
Yeah. You were just the driver. They weren't giving you all the whole lowdown, right?
Yeah, I was trying to act like security, but my buddy wouldn't let. He was like, "You're an idiot. No one's going to believe you're security. You're 140 pounds."
Huh. I mean, that's a first good story. This is a podcast, but it's also a game, and that's a good first story. It has lots of twists and turns. But I would say
it is truly outrageous, ridiculous.
Yeah, because how many days difference was it between the baseball game and then the actual meeting?
The next day.
The next day.
The very next day.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Are we supposed to say our suspicions already?
Yes. Does that mean that at the game? So does that mean that at the game they were so their friend, someone they share a box suite with, had just died, and they were going to the game anyway, like the next day, and they get in there, and someone's in there where he's normally at, and they go, "Look, somebody must be posing as our man Lefebvre. We should set up a business meeting to pop these motherfuckers." Is that like what they were thinking?
No. They didn't know about Brian Lefebvre going missing because apparently he had come from Canada. So they didn't know.
I think that it is perfectly normal for people to be in a suite. People give away their suite tickets all the time. Like, that's super normal. Yeah. But the reason I suspect it is because I see the Giants thing behind you, and I think that's some Kaiser Soze shit where you looked around and that was your story.
Yes.
Okay.
I was sitting right in front of a cardboard box.
Yeah, you're just like, we went to the Giants game, and then these good fellows couldn't get along. So,
well, it's a good first story. Let's move on to your first story, Steve. We'll come back around and we'll ask questions. And I love that you're asking and participating. So what's your story?
Well, thank you. All right, my story does not have as much intrigue. My story is just a story from high school. So I got bullied a lot in high school. I know, who'd have guessed? And what, tall, pale, Jewish redhead? But why? So I got bullied a lot in high school, and I had developed a crush on one of the popular girls. Like, she wasn't like Regina George, but she was Regina George's friend, you know? And so I have a crush on this girl, and the Regina George of our school was this girl named Scarlett. So I have a crush on the popular girl, and I didn't tell anyone I liked her, partially because I had no friends. But aside from that, like, I didn't tell anyone that I liked her. I hid the crush very well. Every time someone brought her name up, I would change the subject immediately and then stare at my feet. So nobody knew that I liked her.
Nobody knew.
Except anyone who had ever met a human. But aside from that, you know, nobody could tell. So, obviously, everybody knew. Story gets out. Top billing in the rumor mill in my high school hallway. And Scarlett confronts me. And so, it's like, basically, it's during lunchtime. And Scarlett confronts me. And she just starts going off. Just 5 minutes straight of how dare you. I had the audacity to be an unpopular boy who liked a popular girl. That's not the order of things. That's not allowed. Like, just telling me my place. This is high school shit, you know?
Was she a cheerleader?
I went to high school in New York City. We did not have cheerleaders. We did not have teams like that. I went to Hunter High School.
Okay, was she a nice person that was just popular? Or was she like the, you know, like...
No, she's a horrible human being, and I hope she's watching this. Like, I... Scarlett.
Oh, Scarlett.
No, Regina George is the girl from Mean Girls. I'm saying she was all Regina George.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I figured Mark would get it because he's got a lot of movie shit behind him. So I figured maybe you'd know one of the classics. So,
dude, Steve's in my fucking head right now. I don't like it.
Yeah, dude.
I fucking like this, dude.
Yeah. All I got is my own signs behind me. Yeah. So anyway, she's just yelling at me for like 5 minutes. She's just going off about, you know, how dare I, just putting me in my place kind of thing. And I've always been quick, but when I was a kid, I didn't have a lot to draw from. Like, it's basically like, imagine like the fastest computer in the world that has no fucking nothing on the hard drive. You know, what does it matter if you're quick? There's nothing to pull from. It doesn't matter. And so the only thing I had was that, like, I had no pop culture. Like, my parents raised me on old movies. And so this girl is just dressing me down and dressing me down and dressing me down. And finally, she stops. And there's a moment where I can respond. And I have this moment. If I can have a good response here, that can turn the entire thing on its head. That is the zebra eating the lion. You know, that is the changing the food chain of the school. And so I have this moment where she finally stops. And I look at her. And I just go, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn. And here's the thing. When you're 13, no one gets a good gun with the wind reference. There's no one there Like, nobody was like, oh, shit. Like, nobody.
I'm 33. I still didn't get that.
Yeah, there, you've been Vivian laid out, motherfucker. Like, that's not what happened at all. It was just a bunch of 13-year-olds being like, wow, he is a loser. And then they turned around and went and got lunch. And that's... Wow. Thought I had her, though. I really thought I was... You ever do a show and like someone's coming at you and you're like, I've got this great response.
I was just about to say that. I was just about, you're like, I'm about to fucking light it up. And it's like, ding, nothing.
Yeah. Set the world on fire. And then, yeah. Yeah. My one friend was like, you tried.
That's how I felt when I played Roast Battle. I thought I had the best singers. Nothing.
And you find out so quick, like halfway through reading the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I fucked up. This is going to be rough.
So, what did your parents do, Steve? What were their jobs living in New York City?
You said, oh, I thought you meant about that. I was like, nothing. Yeah, they did nothing. They told me to go back to school. No, what my parents did, my mother was a nursery school director, and my father was a chemical technician.
In New York City?
He worked in Tarrytown, which is about an hour north, so he would commute. Yeah, he did the reverse commute. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. 13 years old, though? Why is she touching down all like at 13?
But I mean, she was an asshole at 7.
Yeah.
Like that girl was, they're like, assholes are born that way. They don't need to, they don't need to learn how to be assholes. Like she still sucks. And by the way, I know she still sucks.
Really?
How do you know?
Because I wrote a book about high school, and
fuck you, Scarlett. I don't give a
fuck. it's called Ginger Kid, and before I gave myself the COVID buzz cut, I had red hair, and so so I wrote a book about it, and so I've heard from people I went to high school with about, you know, various people that I talked about in the book.
Yeah, I don't know if you would say her real name. I don't know if you would say that. That's kind of a mean thing to say.
Well, you didn't say her last name, right?
Yeah, he just said first name.
I mean, not yet.
Scarlett, come on. Everyone knows who the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, you didn't say last name, but make no mistake, Scarlett, you know who you are, and I can't stand you. I cannot stand you, bitch. Yeah.
That's like if I said, fuck Nicola, I won. Yes.
It's a specific name.
I think this is really a tone for Michael, you know, being a fellow ginger.
Hey, watch it. Dude, so I'm trans ginger. It's where you're...
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's brown on top, red on bottom. I didn't find out I was redhead until I grew a beard, man. Turns out I'm red face. I'm something.
Look, we'll take whoever we can get, all right? We need numbers. here's the test. Here's the test if you have red hair. What's your SPF?
You know what? I don't know anything about my SPF.
But you're not a redhead then. You're not a redhead unless you know what sunblock to use. Like, then you're not. Okay. Sorry, man. You're an honorary, but we can't count you among us.
You hear that? You hear that, gals? Dude, I am the lightning rod for ginger jokes around here. It doesn't even make any sense.
Well, I mean, that's a mean little story. Kids will be kids. Do you have any questions you want to kind of bust them on, Jessica? Any facts? Anything like that?
I mean, I almost feel like this is insulting you by saying this sounds like it could totally be true.
No, I mean, it's on brand for sure. I'm aware.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like in personal experience, the meanest spirited things that I've ever seen people do to one another were about that age. Like, middle school was, to me, all the hardest time socially was like 7th and 8th grade. It's like kids were willing to be the meanest around that time. So I mean, if some bitch is gonna do something crazy like that, it could probably be when she's 13.
Jason Marina says the story sounds on brand but seems too finely tuned a story. I kind of agree too. It seems like maybe something was taken from like a movie or something. I don't know. It seems kind of too simple and on brand. I agree with Jason.
Maybe I'm just good at telling stories.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to take a note from Steve and say, bye, Felicia.
Okay.
Nice.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
That would have killed, and people would have been like, her name is Scarlett.
Yeah.
I know.
It'll make sense later.
I don't know if you've noticed Jessica's changed relationship status, but she's seen that movie a few times lately.
Yeah. Where in New York did you grow up, Steve? What area?
I'm a Queens boy. Grew up in Briarwood, Queens, but then moved around the borough a lot.
Okay, all right.
Well, if Scarlett, you're watching this, make sure you text Steve at 484848. Yep.
I didn't put that sign up just for this podcast. That is already up there for my studio. That is just.
All right. Well, that's a simple story, but let's move it on. Mark, your second story.
All right. Another one, early 20s. I was flying to Vegas with my girlfriend, and I decided to bring some party favors. And this was the first time that I'd flown like since 9/11. So I was worried. I'd flown with like weed and stuff before, but I'd always like put it under my crotch. So I was worried about body scanners. So I decided to pack it in a packed bag, like a check bag. But we are also flying with ecstasy, Molly for the kids. So I was high when I packed the bag. I had like a pair of shoes in my packed bag. I put my weed in my left shoe and I put the ecstasy in the right shoe because I was like, you know, they're not going to check both shoes. And I zipped up the bag and it was like a 50-50 shot. We get to the airport and we're flying out of this small airport. Like it's a walk-up airport. So we park the car, we walk up, we check the bags, and I go to the bar to like get a drink and wait for like our flight to go through security. And as I'm like smoking a cigarette outside after I got my drink, and a cop walks up to me and I like, oh, I can't smoke this. And he goes, no, are you Mark Smalls? And I was like, I'm not famous, you know? So I was like, I fucked up. And I go, yeah. And he goes, we got to talk about what's in your bag. And I was playing dumb. I was like, I didn't know if he checked like the left shoe or the right shoe. So I was like, I don't know what's in my bag. And I was like, the weed? And he was like, yup. And he whips out from his waistband my bag of weed, which was like a half ounce of weed. So this is in the front of the airport. He's got a half ounce of weed dangling it in front of me. And he goes, you can't fly with this. There's people walking around. I'm like, dude, you put that away. You know, this is illegal. What the fuck? It looked like we were doing a first drug deal. And he's like, you can't fly with this. And I was like, okay, but I have my card. And he was like, okay, great. You just got to put it away in your car. So he walks me to my car. My girlfriend's panicking, by the way. She's like right next to me. She's freaking out. He walks me to my car, pop the trunk. Before he hands me back the bag, I swear to God, he sniffs it and he says, this is some good shit. And he hands me back my bag of weed and he watches me place it in my trunk. And he goes, is there anything else in the bag? And I go, nothing else in the bag. And he goes, I'm going to go through that bag again. If I find something else in the bag, you're not going to Vegas. And I was like, nothing else in the bag, officer. So he walks off and I'm like, I'm fucked. You know, like I'm not snitching on myself, you know?
No way.
So we walk through. So finally, like they start boarding our flight. So we walk through security. No body scanners, no pat, not even a fucking pat down. It was like it was an old X-ray machine, like a fucking metal detector. We walk right through it. Didn't say, no one even looked at me. I could have just walked through with weed. It would have been fine. And I go up to the guy, and my girlfriend's like, you got to tell him. So I go up I see the officer. He's inside the gate. And I go up to him and I'm like, hey, officer, I wanted to say, and he like turns to me and he just goes, yeah, no, I cleared your bag. You're fine. You're good to go. And I was like, okay. And I walked to my girlfriend. She was like, did you tell him? I was like, he said, we're good. it was like the end of the movie Argo. When we got on that plane, I was like, oh fuck, are we taking off? I kept looking up. No cops came. We flew into Vegas and there was ecstasy in my shoe.
What
in the bag?
Well, thanks for ruining Argo for me.
Yeah, you know,
they get away.
what little airport was this? What city, town?
This was Stockton Airport.
You flew from Stockton to Vegas?
I flew from Stockton to Vegas.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Look at me, Felicia.
I know. Well, that does kind of match the part of the story.
Yeah.
But I have many questions. So tell me, the timeline seems goofy. So
you're timeline.
This was how, right after 9/11?
This was a couple years after 9/11.
Uh-huh.
This was way after 9/11. But I hadn't flown since 9/11 with weed.
Oh, so you're saying at first it was just a couple of years and now it's way after 9/11 and you have
Yeah, it was way after 9/11. But I just hadn't flown since then.
Like how much way after 9/11? Like
I would say like 2000.
Give me an answer.
I would say like 2010.
2010.
Yes.
Okay.
I will say that part of the story that makes sense is an incompetent TSA agent. That to me.
No, it was a police officer, by the way. It wasn't a TSA. Officer. It was a uniform police officer.
Okay.
So a uniform.
Him correcting me on that makes me believe it, actually.
So how did he find the weed if you were outside smoking a cigarette? Confused by the story. Am I the only one that feels confused?
No, he dropped them off to get. He dropped the bags off to like. They checked in. He left them the bags to get them checked. He went to the airport bar and then he went outside. He's outside having a cigarette. And while the bags are getting checked, they let the cop know. And he came out and goes, "Yo, are you Mark Smalls? Because I got a bag with Mark Smalls on it, and there's some pot."
Yeah, you know? and in teeny airports, the airport bar is like before security often.
Well, that part I get, but so you're saying after 9/11, you just put your bags down, let the officers or whatever go through it while you went out and had a cigarette?
I checked them. I like gave them to airport people, to the American Airlines.
Yeah.
Like I checked the bags and then I gave my bags to Spirit Airlines, I mean, and then fucking went to the bar.
Felicia thinks this is where she's got you, but I totally get what you're saying. This
okay.
makes sense to
okay.
me. Like, he left them with security. They found the pot, and then so they
not security. The baggage people. When you check a bag,
TSA. That's what I mean. Airport security, TSA people. Yeah, they were just running the bag through the checky thing.
Which baggage people, like the people that at the curb or the people like where you get your tickets or the people where you
In Stockton, it's all the same person. That's one guy.
his name's Jeff. He's a really sweet guy.
Yeah, this is classic Jeff.
Yeah. As soon as we got on, he took off his police badge, he threw on his pilot hat, and he was like, let's fucking roll, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jason Moreno types fast.
He does. And he says that the guy coming up to him outside said he checked the bag at the curb. Oh, weird. Everyone takes their drugs on a carry-on bag. Not necessarily.
Do you?
And yeah, last time I did it. Yeah.
You always take it on a carry-on bag. Uh-huh. But this was back in the day.
Uh-huh.
This was before.
And how old were you when this happened?
I was, let's see, 2011. I was maybe like fresh 21 going to Vegas.
See, I was in the Air Force, so I've never even had the balls to even try to get drugs on a plane ever.
Really?
Yeah, that scares the shit out of me. Why would you do that? Like, why risk it?
But you don't do drugs, Jessica. I think so. You don't.
Yeah.
That's what my dad used to say. That's what my pops used to tell me. He was like, why would you bring pot on a plane? I used to bring cocaine. They can't smell that.
Yeah, also, Jessica, why do people blow people in alleys for drugs? It's because it's drugs.
Yeah, it's good. Hey, why did those two straight guys on Tiger King just decide they were gay for a while?
Yeah,
drugs rule.
Yeah, right?
Also, you were on your way to Vegas. It's not like you weren't going to be able to find drugs in Vegas. You know what I mean?
But I'm California, man. I'm not buying no Vegas weed.
I mean, it'd be different, I think, if you were like flying into, I don't know, Minnesota or something. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems you're going to Vegas. Of course, you can find drugs.
You could rent skis at the mountain too, but you want to ski on your skis, player. You know.
No, that is
Vegas.
Best shit I've ever heard in my life.
Oh my god.
That's awesome. Sometimes you want to bring sand to the beach, Jess, if you're going to a shitty beach.
Yeah.
All right. Steve, any questions, or would you like to jump into the second story?
I don't think I have any more questions. But oh, why were you going to Vegas?
To do drugs. Who the fuck? What, of course.
I don't know. There could have been. I didn't know if it was like a specific drug convention.
Oh no, no. Going to Vegas.
Okay.
It's like a nurses' conference or something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show Steve
mainly.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's so funny how you're so like leaning back, all casual about to do drugs when you were all afraid of fucking pin joint in your shoe. You know what I mean? Like the whole story just doesn't make sense.
A pin joint? What?
Okay.
Am I so high?
Pin joint is what they used to call just a really thin joint. You know,
no, it's like a half ounce of weed. It was a big bag.
Oh, it was a big bag of weed.
Big bag.
Yeah, Felicia, are you trying to say this fool doesn't burn or what?
No, dude? I'm a burner, dog.
That's one thing we're not going to trip him up on. That's. Yeah.
But I still hold fast. I look this bad because of comedy, not the drugs.
Okay. We all do. All right. So, Steve, your turn.
All right. So, this is. I figure I told one very self-deprecating story. So, here's a story that's a little less self-deprecating. I was dating this girl for a while, and, you know, things worked out really well and everything's going great. And we had a mutual buddy, our buddy, Chris. So Chris is actually who introduced us. So he was very close with both of us. And she kind of told him everything more than I told him everything. Like she told him like details of us hooking up. And I used to do this thing when I was going down on her in order to make sure she came. I have a long last name. My last name's Hofstetter. You can see all the letters in it. So I would spell out my last name twice in order to make her come. Like that was my trick. So my buddy Chris knew that because she told him. I would not have brought that up to him. But anyway, we're all very close. She and I end up breaking up. What?
Well, did you like think spell it like in your mind, or were you actually like H?
No. Like we were together for a year. Uh-huh. And so like at a certain point we talked about technique, you know, like I didn't keep the secret from her. She was like, what do you do down there? Because she didn't typically orgasm from oral sex.
How many last names did you try before you found your last name?
I just spelled my own. It's the one I know best. It's the one I know best. I just figure, because there's that whole thing of like spelling the alphabet thing.
Yeah, I've always tried that, but I don't know how to write in cursive, so I found it very hard.
Yeah.
Steve Hofstetter's the one I use, too. Try it. It works well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's kind of part of the story. So here's what happens. So she and I end up breaking up. You know, we stay friendly, but not close friends. But she and Chris are really close, closer than he and I are. And so eventually, they start dating. It's about 3 years later, they start dating.
Whoa!
Yeah. So not a big deal. He asked me first. He was kind about it. He did the whole like, hey, is it okay? I was like, yeah, it's fine.
You are good, because you know what? This is good. This was starting off as a humble brag, right? And usually usually we say humble brags are true, right? But you're flipping this joint and you're saying, oh, but he took my girl. So that's not necessarily a humble brag.
She wasn't smart. You don't have rights to someone 3 years later. She's a person. I don't know if you know this, but she's women are people, Jessica.
Yeah, I don't know, Steve. About that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, they can also be possessions.
So, yeah.
Now, all right, so back to the story. So it's a couple years later, it's 3 years later. And so she's dating Chris, and things aren't working out. Like, sexually, they're not working out.
What's Chris's last name? Is it a short name?
Chris's last name is Bowers.
Oh.
So he's a comic, too.
How do you know that it wasn't working out sexually?
Because he later told me this part of the story, which is hilarious. So he's going down on her, and they're talking too, you know, and basically because he knows what I did, he tries to spell his own name, and it's not fucking doing it. It's not doing it. It's not working.
There's no F's in it.
Well, yeah. And so there's no T's. There's a lot of up and down and crossing T's. He's got the E, but he has no T's. He has no F's.
The so, W will not do it.
He, absolutely. So he decides
I'm writing
one day.
This down. Hold on.
He's drunk. He's drunk. And one day he's trying and things aren't working out. And he just goes, fuck it. And he spells Hofstetter. And it fucking works.
No fucking
it
way.
Works. It makes her come. For whatever reason, those iterations of letters was her fucking control manual. That's what worked.
Uh-huh.
So, sorry, go ahead, Felicia.
Can you do an impression for us of you spelling out your own name as your name?
Yeah, Steve, can you change your background to a vaginal wall?
Wait, hold on. If we could just give me 1 second with the backgrounds here. I just need to make this accurate. So here we go. All right. So let me do it this way. So.
Go for it. Go do it. Do it, Steve. Do
all right.
It.
So here. So this is going to be screen grab for sure. All right. So you have to go.
Wow. I am soaking wet.
I didn't even get to the first T. But yeah, so that's you spell out letters with the tongue. It's not that difficult. That's an easy concept.
Oh, see, I'm glad that you acted that out for me because I didn't even think that you spelt it out with your tongue. So you'd be like, like that, right?
So wait, so what, you thought I just sketched it on a pad? Like what was it?
Just waste it? Like silly putty on a newspaper?
Yeah, and Steve, why would the cop...
language.
Steve, why would the cop come ask you if you had the weed when he was going through your bag? I don't get it.
No, I just drew it with a Sharpie. That's what really made it work. So, okay.
I don't think a man is so good at self-branding as yourself is going down on girls, dude. I think you're receiving these blowjobs.
You don't think that... Hold on a second. Hold on. You don't think that my brand is caring about people?
See, I wanted you to get my brand. I just wanted you to get defensive. That's all I wanted. I just wanted
to prove it's true.
Yeah.
You're like, Steve would get defensive for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So it becomes this, they end up breaking up. We're all still friendly. It becomes this like legendary story with my group of friends among a bunch of comics. So basically, it's, you know, it's this running joke. It's at Chris's expense, kind of. So I liked the story because it made me look better. And so eventually, it's, you know, probably another 2-3 years later. And our buddy Rich it's the middle of the fucking night. And I get a call from Rich and like goes to voicemail. You know, I shut my phone off when I go to sleep. I do the whole nighttime thing. And, but he calls again. So then it rings. So I pick up the phone. It's like 2:30 in the fucking morning. And I pick up the phone and, Rich just goes, "Hey, how the fuck do you spell Hofstetter?"
Yo.
So that's that story.
I fucking hope that's true, dude. I really hope that's true.
That's Damn. A good story. Yeah. Any questions? Any questions on that?
How do you feel about your last name being the Da Vinci Code for?
I don't think it works on every lock. I think it's just a very specific lock. Like that's the trick, you know. Like you can use a key all you want. If it's in the wrong lock, it ain't gonna work.
Wow, I wonder if that girl ever tells like any of her new boyfriends about that little trick of hers.
I mean, she told like everyone in our group, so I'm guessing. So, like, that might be. I mean, that's probably the best promotion I've ever received.
What if like, she just tells, like, look, when you go down there, just say off pepper or something. Like, she put something.
Yeah, maybe. Pepper. Yeah, she doesn't want to think of me. I don't know. I mean, it ended well. You know, it was fine. We were still friendly.
That's awesome because you know she has Hofstetter written in her back pocket on a piece of paper, so that if she's ever. receiving edge. He could just pass a note like she's in just seventh grade class.
Absolutely.
Here's the code.
She just has one of my tour posters. And yeah. I'm like, who's that? She's like, it might come up later.
It's my cheat code manual.
Yeah.
She has that tattooed on her inner thigh.
It's like the underneath Wi-Fi that, password.
Underneath that it says AA. It says ABAB, up, up, down, down.
Left, yeah, it's case sensitive.
Yeah.
It is.
All capital letters.
Really?
Like the sign, all capital letters.
Jason Marina says he thought that you delivered this story more naturally than the other one, that he felt was kind of dialed in. But sometimes when people tell the dialed in story, that is seems to be more the lie, and the more natural story where people aren't really sure of all the events sometimes can be the truth.
By the way, Jason got my Konami reference, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, fellow nerd.
All right.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Up, up, down, down. It's the Konami code. It's like the cheat code that you could use in all Konami games that would work with every – it's old school shit.
Okay.
Yeah, old Nintendo stuff.
I believe you.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and Michael recap the stories, and then let's take a vote. Can you hear my dogs fighting? They're like fighting right by my feet.
No.
One of them speaking Spanish? I hear that.
Nobody's spelling out Hofstetter's name when the other one's asking.
May those dogs achieve happiness forever.
Did we? Who started? Steve or Mark?
Mark started.
Mark did. So, all right, we're going to start with Mark's story. So, this is, that's his second story. Here's his first story. So he's in his early 20s. He worked at a bar, and he's closing the bar with his buddy. They found this wallet, and they looked inside. There's not much going on, maybe an old gift card, and there's some fucking Giants tickets. And so they go to the game the next day, and it's like a box suite. I don't know if it's a suite, a box suite. I don't know where we ended up on that. Which is it?
A box.
I don't know the difference. I've only been in one, and it was that.
It sounds like a suite because he said there were drawers and free hot dogs and shit. So that sounds like a suite.
Okay. Sounds like a suite. They were in a suite. There's nobody else in there, but you're still kind of, Mark's still kind of tripping. And then finally people show up and Mark's losing his mind. Like, we got to get out of here. Am I back? Guys, am I gone?
Yeah.
This is rough, huh? So basically people show up. And this guy that you stole the tickets from, or not really stole the tickets
steal.
From, but
I didn't steal.
I know. Mark, you're a great guy. You're just the driver. Right. You knows what you're doing here. So
I found
you guys, this guy's name is Brian. These people show up, and your buddy is playing Brian, and they're he's answering questions. He's going off. They're talking finance and shit. And eventually, they set up a business meeting for the next day for Brian's company to be pitched to some investors. And then so Mark and buddy go to the fucking meeting at one of those big rooms in the hotel, you know, and they get there, and then. And 7 minutes into the meeting, the cover is clearly blown. Someone comes and whispers something, and they're like, "You're not Brian. We know you're not Brian because Brian is fucking dead." And I think that's the crux of that story.
Yes.
I have some questions. So, where did you find? You found the wallet with the tickets in the wallet?
Yes, we found the wallet. It was laying next to the dumpster out in the. It's not like an alleyway, but it's like the back area of our bar.
Yeah. Huh.
Were you in your early 20s? Were you wearing a long trench coat? Maybe had a big cell phone, 80s style.
I'm not getting the reference.
I assume that's a Jerry Orbach on Law and Order.
It's just that this story sounds like an 80s movie, verbatim.
Oh, like Roger Rabbit shit.
Yeah.
They didn't. Come on, they didn't have French names in 80s movies. It wasn't that diverse yet.
Okay, if it would have been a Russian name, then we would have you.
Absolutely.
Well, this does sound like a true story, but it doesn't sound like Mark's true story. It sounds like maybe it was a story that happened to someone else, you know? And, I mean, what happened once you found out that he was murdered? Were you like, oh, my God, we didn't know? Did you Google it afterwards? What did you do any of that? Did you know how he was killed other than just mugging?
No, we had to talk to the cops afterwards.
You had to talk to the cops?
Yeah. I said that in the first part of the story.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I'll put money down that this one's fake.
Whoa, big money. Let's talk big money. You never had that before.
How much are you going to put
down? Really? I'll throw down $20 at this. Ooh, this
that's a life-changing amount of money for me right now.
This is big money, yeah, in the virus time. This is big. Wait, shit.
Well, Steve, maybe she's wearing glasses. Look at her. Steve, maybe we should hold up and listen to the second story, and we can still talk.
Okay.
Pets, but I got to know what you think here before I get my money going anywhere. So Mark is in his early 20s. Once again, he's flying to Vegas with his girlfriend, and he's holding. It's his first flight since 9/11, so he decides to put it in a checked bag, and he puts like weed in one shoe and ecstasy in the other shoe. They pull up to a small airport, and they check in for the flight. They leave the bags with the airline for the bags to be checked, and somewhere in the getting checked process, while Mark is getting a drink and having a cigarette, the cops are alerted about some pot that's been found in the bag. So the cop comes outside and goes like, "Yo, are you Mark Smalls?" He goes, "Yeah, that's me." And he goes, "What do you know about this weed?" And long story short, he lets him put it back in the car. And even on the way to the car, he's like, "Wow, this is some good shit. Mark, do you have anything else in the bag? Because if I find anything else in the bag, you can't go to Vegas." And Mark goes, "No, I swear I don't," which was a lie. And so he heads off. And then right before they're going through baggage claim, he's like, "You got to tell him." And then right when Mark's about to tell him, he goes, "That bag's been cleared. You're all good. Have fun in Vegas." And you went to Vegas with the ecstasy.
So
word for word.
This is the first flight you ever took?
No, just since 9/11.
So how long? So was that 10 years? Like what year was 9/11?
9/11 was in 2001.
So 9 years later in 2010, you haven't flown in those 9 years. You're 20. How old were you?
22, 21.
So you hadn't flown since you were 12 years old, and the first flight you take, you're going to take how much weed?
A half ounce.
A half ounce to Vegas? Locked in the
Vegas.
Bullshit.
Quite a bit.
I'm still betting that the second one is true and the first one is a lie. Anyone taking that bet? I believe, first of all, someone from Stockton would absolutely not think about the fact that they can get weed in Vegas. Like that's.
I'm not from Stockton.
Where are you from? But you flew out of Stockton.
Yeah, I flew out of Stockton. Don't put me on that level, Steve.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Jersey, but I lived in San Francisco for a while.
So you lived in San Francisco, a place with three major airports.
Yeah.
And instead you flew from Stockton to Vegas. And what airline?
I wasn't living in San Francisco at the time. I was living in the suburbs around San Francisco then. And this was Spirit Airlines.
Yeah, but still not. You're not going to fly to San Jose or Oakland or depending on what side you live on? Like
cheap flights.
All right. I mean, look, but from Stockton, I feel like flights are more expensive the same way they're more expensive if you fly to like Long Beach or Burbank because they know they have you by the balls. It's one of those things that like.
They're like $38 flights.
Yeah, for Spirit, that's expensive. So
back then it was like, holy shit, we're going to Vegas for $40.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll still put the first one as fake, second one is true.
Yeah,
wouldn't they have,
as Jason is also saying, a first is a lie, second is true as well for Mark.
Wait, second is true. Okay, well, because what about in the second one? We're talking about all right. I'm thinking now you get caught at an airport with a ton of weed, it would still be an iffy outcome, right? And he's talking like what 07 or whatever.
No, later than that.
2010.
Still though, up until just like the 2010, I feel like just that was still drugs in 2010.
That's 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
How old?
Yeah, 10. I mean,
33.
Pot's been medicinal in California since the 90s.
Yeah, but you like have to fly with that much weed after you haven't flown since you're 12 years old and you live on the outskirts of San Francisco, but you're going to drive to Stockton to get those cheap.
Mark, how old were you when you started smoking?
I first tried it when I was like really young, like sixth grade, but I didn't start really smoking till like senior year in high school.
By the way, total aside, I tried it when I was 2 days ago old. So
no
I don't
way.
Know a ton about pot.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Good for you, dog. Hey,
Steve, isn't your birthday September 11th?
My birthday is September 11th. That is correct.
Oh, that's so fucking crazy.
You are. Yep,
and I'm from New York City.
King of the gingers. You're king of the gingers. Wow.
Oh my god.
Wow, pure ginger.
That's why they let me run the meetings.
Yeah,
that's why they let him. Yeah.
All right, let's take the vote. What do you think, Jessica?
My vote is going to be that the second one is a lie. He did not fly that early with marijuana, ganja, whatever you want to call it, pot, reefer. I know.
You know, left-handed cigarette.
The devil's and lettuce.
The first one. The first one, because he seems... it seems so outlandish. It's the perfect story to choose. Also, I can see Mark just going along. Now, I don't think that he would have like started this or said, yeah, I'll meet you for the meeting tomorrow. But I feel like he would have followed along with his friend to be like, let's see what happens, you know? So that's what
Jessica,
I'm going to do. The second story is the lie.
You going to take my bet?
Sure. $20.
Oh, yeah.
$20.
Yeah. Oh, money out.
$20.
I got. We're laying odds now. I'm gonna text Vegas.
Yeah, text Vegas.
Wow, I might have to go with you on that. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, the first story. I mean, he did come.
Can I borrow $10?
What?
Can I borrow $10? I mean, you might get $20. I'll Venmo you while we're on the air if you win.
Oh fuck, gold and shit.
Hey, Jess, you split that with me, and I'll go your way.
Yo.
You'll spill Hofstetter for you.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. By the way, everyone who's watching this is going to try that shit. Everyone who's watching this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, what I think about it, it's so difficult because I don't believe the second story at all about the Vegas scene. That does sound like complete horseshit. But although Jason Marino says in your 20s, you do stupid shit to save a nickel, you'll do a stupid thing and you'll end up paying $50 later. But I can't believe that some security person at the airport would be like, no, it's okay. What else you got? That, like, I can't see that happening, especially if you're a dummy 23-year-old. And my apologies. I have a 19 and 20-year-old, so I say that with love.
And it was a cop.
Not
just airport security. Airport security made me believe it more. Like, a cop is more suspect, but
I still
think the first one's fake.
I almost think that this story is true up until the ecstasy. Like, maybe he had the weed, and then that happened, and he got away with it. Like, oh, my God. But I don't think he had the ecstasy.
Yeah. I'm going to change my vote. I'm going to say the first... I'm always wrong when I change my vote. But I'm going to say the first story is true, and it's the second story that's a lie. Because... yeah, I'm just going to say that.
I got 20 on it. I'll take that bet twice.
Fuck. I don't believe the first one either, but maybe I could justify the second one by saying, like, if anybody's going to be that loose at airport security, it's going to be in Stockton, you know? I don't know Stockton. I don't believe the Stockton story, man. I think y'all went to that game and just didn't know it was a dead guy.
Is this where I reveal?
Hold on. I'm thinking.
Fuck, I don't feel confident.
All right, which story is a lie, Mark? Which one is it?
The first story is a lie. The first story is like one of my favorite episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes, it is. Bullshit.
Fuck you, Mark. Fuck you for doing that.
It's like one of my favorite episodes.
Wow.
Now I gotta beg Steve if he really wants to take money from a
Oh, you better.
No, you know what I'll do? I actually run a scholarship for comedians. So yeah, I'll take the $20, but I'll donate it to that. So another comic will get it. Don't worry about it. No, it's unfair of me to take the money because I totally saw that episode and I was playing along the whole time.
Yes!
The show's called Liars Club, man. I'm trying to fit in.
Oh, holy you're too shit. Good, you son of a bitch. You're too good. Fuck.
Good shit, dude. Yeah, that's a great one, dude. Brian Lefebvre, we're getting off. Oh, such a good one. The second story is 100% true. We got to Vegas. There was ecstasy in my bag. I was fucking unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. It's the most crazy shit that's ever happened to me.
But there's no telling if that cop left the ecstasy there or they just put more in when you get to Vegas.
I don't know. Yeah. Not a clue.
It's like a lay in Hawaii. It's the same kind of thing. Like, here's your ecstasy. Welcome to Vegas.
Yeah. You can't go with weed, but that's cool.
So, Mark, is the Lefebvre name from It's Always Sunny? It is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe I'm asking questions about it, too. Like, and I've seen Always Sunny.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
That was such a risk on your part because to not change the details enough. I mean, it was a Phillies game in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, to not change the details enough that, like, anyone in the chat could have recognized it. Anyone, like... You ran the risk of someone just having seen that episode.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not going to blow up.
I've been watching reruns since we've been on in lockdown. I've been watching that shit. I just haven't gotten to.
You didn't, the Lefebvre name didn't fucking come up to you, Jessica? Jesus Christ. All right.
That was kind of where the serial killer leaves like his imprint. It was a risk, but I felt like I had to do it.
That was very solid on your part. Nicely done.
Yeah. You're a good liar, Mark. You're a really Thanks. Good liar.
I've been working for this my whole life.
Okay. Blame comedy.
All right, let's do a Steve's recaps real quick.
All right, and Steve's first story, this is in high school. He was bullied a lot because he was a tall, pale Jewish redhead, and he had a crush on a popular girl. It wasn't quite the Regina George of the situation. It was like the second-in-command queen bitch. The queen bitch is Scarlett, though, right? And he did a bad job of keeping the secret, so Scarlett confronted him and just starts going off, like, how dare you not know your place as an unpopular kid liking a popular girl, blah, blah, blah. And Steve was quick back then, but he didn't really have any hard drive to pull from, but he did know old movies. So he thinks he's going to hit her hard with that, frankly, I don't give a damn line. And it falls pretty flat. And that's the first story. Right? Did that go anywhere else? Yeah, he hit there with that line and it just died, right?
Yeah.
Well, I almost want to believe this because I can remember my first joke when I was in the first grade. There was like this Latino kid and his name was Jose. And I don't even remember what he had said to me, but I came back with, well, no way, Jose. I thought that was the shit and I was done. Like nobody got it, but I was like, this is brilliant, right? So I could see him doing this. I could see him doing that.
Yeah, but if you have a name like Scarlett, you've heard that shit since you were two. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I feel like I know Steve's a better riffer than that. So
yeah, but how old were you, Steve? How old were you?
I was 13.
That shit's in your goddamn blood. That's in your fucking blood. Those that shit, you hone that skill, but you're born with it.
It was a good riff if people were 30, but they weren't 30. They were 13.
And the fact that like he claims himself like a nerd and he's like got the Konami code, like I don't see him acting like a 30-year-old. If he's playing video games back then, he's a kid. I don't buy that riff. And I really want that pussy eating story to be fucking real.
What about if that's another episode of It's Always Sunny?
Yeah, it's always pussy in Philadelphia.
Steve, did you do like your mama jokes when you were a kid?
Oh, absolutely did your mama jokes. My favorite Yo Mama joke, and this is another one that was just too old for other people because they didn't get it, but my favorite Yo Mama joke, because it plays on the trope, is Yo Mama's like sheep. She fucks sheep. I love that joke. It's a great joke. No one sees it coming. It's very stupid. I always love that one.
Yo Mama, that's good, dude. That's fucking great. Yeah.
No, but I would do Yo Mama jokes all day. I know every little of those, like those fucking the light bulb jokes. I know all the dead baby jokes, all the shit you tell when you're kids.
So why wouldn't he hit this broad Scarlet back with fucking
So I'm like, oh, well, you know, with a mama joke. He's going to hit her back with a Gone with the Wind fucking quip.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
Oh, that's a good pussy story. Damn it. That's a good
As point. A redhead, as a redhead, you need to eat pussy good. And I'm going to, that's where I'm sticking by, dude.
Yeah, as a TPJR, a tall, pale Jewish redhead.
Mm. Yeah, just never outside. That's the trick.
Yeah. All right.
And not on Sundays.
Not on Fridays.
My girlfriend's Jewish. So I'm still learning.
Yeah.
It's been like 11 years, but he's still learning.
Oh, sorry. Second story. Sorry about that.
Same girl from the flight. Second story for Steve Hofstetter. So he's in a great relationship. And in this relationship, he and the girlfriend got a mutual friend named Chris. And Chris was kind of her confidant. She told him everything. Like, they talked more than than Steve and Chris did about, like, sex and shit like that. And Steve used to, you guys hear that? At 8 o'clock, my neighborhood all hoots and hollers at each other. Did you guys do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had beeping here, too. I had beeping. I think it's to thank the people on the front line, nurses.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, perhaps. Anyway, she talked to Chris a lot. Steve used to do this thing where he'd spell his last name with his tongue to make her come. She told Chris about this, and then Steve and her break up, and then they're still close, and Steve's still close with Chris, but they end up dating. Long story short, Chris and the girl do. And Chris asked first; he was cool about it. This is like 3 years later; things aren't really working out, and he tries it with Bowers, his last name. It's a no go. He can't get her to finish on Bowers, so he goes with Hofstetter. It works. And so it becomes legend after these guys break up. This story kind of becomes legend. And one night, Rich, in the middle of the night, calls. Steve doesn't answer because it's middle of the night. Calls again, so Steve knows it's serious. Picks up the phone, and Rich goes, yo, how do you spell Hofstetter?
God, it fucking sounds like an old street joke when you read it back to me.
Yeah.
It really sounds like an old urban legend, like an urban legend street joke.
Yeah, I think that Steve is a great comedian. And of course, that story is so well put together now because he probably uses that shit as a joke. And that's why it's true. So Scarlett is true.
And we're coming to hurt that lady.
So y'all flipped on the rebound.
I'm back to flopping now. I think I'm back on the other one. I'm going to go last. Someone else go first.
Damn.
Well, you know, I do like what Jessica said about the humble brag. So Steve's second story did have the first part of it be a humble brag. So I'm going to say that second story of him spelling his name twice with a specific woman with his tongue as he goes down on her is a true story. Are you doing this now with your beloved if you are dating someone, or have you done this with
all? He's married. Are you married?
Oh, I didn't know.
No, I'm divorced.
Okay. Only spelled it once for her, did you?
it doesn't look the same. Code doesn't work on everybody. I'll put it that way.
Shouldn't have thrown that girl away. Is all I'm saying.
It doesn't work once it's her own last name.
Yeah.
She just kept being like, "Spell my maiden name." I'm like, "God damn."
Right. I'm going to say the second story is the false one, and the first story is the true one.
Okay, Jason's Marina's versus lie, second is true. I'm going to say the second is true because it did involve a humble brag.
I think the second one is true because it would be such a chillingly douchey fantasy story to have just made up.
It also feels like a Kinison bit, a Sam Kinison bit from like back in the day.
Perhaps.
So who voted what?
I'm voting first story true, second story false.
I'm with Mark.
Those two are on the other side.
I'm voting second story true, first story false.
I'm all right. 0-for-1 already today.
Well,
go ahead.
The second story is a true story, but not about me.
Yeah.
About me.
Yes.
It does involve my buddy Bowers. It does involve my buddy Rich, but the guy's last name was Tushlog.
Tushlog. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, Tushlog. Hit it with a Tushlog.
I told what I knew to be a good story, but I just made it about my last name. The first story, absolutely true. It's actually in the book. I was that lame. I did think that comeback was going to work, and it is one of the more heart-wrenching moments. And you're just like, oh, he's going to win. Oh, he's not going to win.
Yeah,
he's not
gonna win.
No way, Jose.
Yeah. Damn, that sucks, man. I'm sorry. That I know that feeling.
Hey, oof. It's why I'm a comedian today. You know, damn, like if we didn't go through that kind of shit, we would not have a good enough sense of humor. So,
yeah. Yo, good stories. These were great stories.
Yeah, these were great stories. And we certainly do appreciate that you spent some of your pandemic with us. Thank you for doing that. And thank you.
Yo, I got a.
Yeah.
I got a quick, Steve, I got to tell you a story. So this is like, this is in college, like 5, 6 years ago. I'm sitting in the SIG.
How old were you, Michael?
this is right after 9/11, but not.
I don't believe this one's true. This one's fake.
Kind of long after 9/11. I'm in the SIG App house on campus where I live. I'd been doing stand up like 2 weeks, and my buddy drummer Dan comes in. He's my roommate, and he goes, "Hey, you know that comedian Steve Hofstetter? He was a SIG App when he was in college, right? He was in the same fraternity." And I was doing an open mic that night. There we go, baby. So I was doing an open mic that night. Drummer Dan comes and films me at the an open mic doing like 7 minutes, and I had he had this little video of me. And the next day he goes, "Hey, I sent that tape to that SIG App comedian."
Sounds familiar.
And I just go, "Oh my God, dude. Like I didn't authorize it. I didn't know he was filming it. I didn't know anything." And it made me so fucking nervous. And you didn't even reply to him. He just included my email. You actually went out of the way to reply and write the email to me. And you just gave a bunch of like really kind, normal advice and totally weren't a dick about it. And it seemed like you actually watched the whole thing. And I couldn't believe it. It was very kind.
Oh, I also awesome. Can't believe that I watched the whole thing. That doesn't sound like at all. But
yeah, you had something to say about every part of it. And I was like, did he fucking make it through this? How bizarre.
Well, SIG App does mean a lot to me. And, you know, and a lot of the alumni have helped me over the years. So I wanted to do the same.
Dude, thanks a lot, man. It's cool. Cool full circle to do this with you now. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. I always am nervous when someone tells me a story about something that happened a while back with me, because I'm like, what? Oh, fuck. What did I? Was I okay?
Yeah, I should have drug you out longer on that.
Yeah.
Well, especially the longer you do comedy, when someone goes, "Yeah, back in the day, and this happened," and you're like, "Fuck!" Because when people bring up stories about me, it was way back in the day where everyone had poor behavior.
sure.
Did you, Felicia? Did you just justify a Me Too? What just happened?
You guys,
you know, before we knew better.
Mark. Yeah, remember you met me back in the day. You brought me up in a hotel room.
No, I'm just always afraid because I have a tendency to kind of cut to the chase with people. And sometimes people like that. And sometimes people very much do not like that. And so it just depends on the personality. You know, like
your email was... Your email just goes, you just go, "First of all, move the mic stand out of the way." Like, you were very dry, but it wasn't rude.
Well, good, because the same code doesn't work with everybody, so that's positive.
All right, do you guys have anything you want to shout out? If it's your Twitter feed or something you have coming up, or dates that you have for next year?
I got dates this year because I'm doing a lot of virtual stuff. So I helped start the Nowhere Comedy Club, which is a digital comedy club that has actual laughing audience and bouncers and everything like that. It seems like a very real experience. Thank you. We have all kinds of huge comedians. Christian Finnegan and Josh Wolf just did shows. We got Brad Williams coming up. I'm doing my show tomorrow night. So my full hour that I had been touring with. And so check it out, nowherecomedyclub.com. And you can see a lot of really wonderful comics and feel like you're still part of the show.
That's great.
Very nice. What about you, Mark?
You can just follow my Instagram at Mark Smalls, and then also go check out my comedy album that's on Spotify and iTunes and wherever you get your music from. It's called Junior Varsity, and it's me and three other comics that I do a podcast with called Pier 69. And we all do like 15 minutes, and we all got our own little sides of the track. It's a fun album. We're all different. It's very funny. It's short, 45 minutes. Listen to it. Bang it out.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what about you, Michael?
Just follow my Instagram at Michael Evans LOL.
Nice. Thank you, Jason Marina, for playing along tonight. We appreciate that. Thank you guys once again. I'm Felicia Michaels. You can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels, or you can go on Amazon Prime if you have that, and you can watch my comedy special there for free, and also my documentary that I made called Pervs. And that's it. Jessica?
Follow me at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. I feel like I have to say this now. I was on Good Girls. I'm on the opening scene. You can watch that shit.
Hell yeah.
And Grace Brady on Netflix. Watch that shit.
Let's go.
And you have been lied to.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney, believe
you. You're the real liar. Please stand up.
What? She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.